The reading is from Proverbs chapter 1, starting at verse 10, and it's on page 635 if you're following in the Bibles. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, "Come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us, and we will share a common purse." My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths. For their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Dave. So we're having a little series on the early chapters in Proverbs. And I introduced the series with the first nine verses of Proverbs 1 last week. And here we are carrying on with what comes next. Proverbs is very much associated with King Solomon. And there's a famous story that God appeared to Solomon and said, "What would you like? Would you like power or would you like wealth?" And Solomon said, "Neither. I would like wisdom." God was pleased with that answer. And because that's what Solomon asked for, God promised him both power and wealth as well. Might have been better if he hadn't got those gifts, because in the end they led him astray. But he was known as the wisest man on earth. I was just reading about him in 1 Kings chapter 4, and on page 340, we're told that Solomon was wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite. Who knew? Wiser even than the sons of Mahol. He collected a library of knowledge in which zoology and botany seemed to have figured prominently. People came from far and wide to listen to his wisdom. 1 Kings tells us that he spoke over 3,000 proverbs. So all we've got in the book of Proverbs is his greatest hits. There's 375 in there. But before we get to the proverbs themselves, what we're going to be listening to in these opening chapters is some of the 10 speeches spoken by a father to his son, offering advice on how to live a good life, interspersed with poems spoken by a mysterious woman, Lady Wisdom. So I'm trying to arrange it so that if it's the father speaking, we've got a man reading the passage, like Dave did this morning. When it's wisdom speaking, it'll be a woman giving us the reading, just to give us that contrast. And all this, as Proverbs itself tells us, is to help us live well in God's world. And that's a good aim, isn't it? And my comments on this passage have been influenced by Nicky Gumbel, because we have heard the early chapters of Proverbs in our Bible journey already this year. And it's tempting to skip over that little bit that comes at the beginning of the Bible reading, you know, a few verses from a psalm or the Proverbs, and concentrate on the meat of the New Testament and the Old Testament. So I thought it wouldn't hurt for us to focus in on Proverbs. One of the challenges we face as Christians is not to withdraw from the world, but to be in the world but not of the world. Which means that we have to find a way to resist the temptations that are all around us in the world we live in. And here we have the first practical advice offered by a father to his son on how to achieve that balance, how to be in the world but not of the world. And the first thing that Dad has got to say is a great big don't. Don't let others entice you into sin. If bad companions tempt you, don't go along with them. That's how the message renders the opening of this passage. If they say, come along with us, don't give in to them. Now, police officers and those working in the justice system will often say how many people are led into crime by others saying to them, come along with us. Come and join this gang. You've got the status of belonging. We'll keep you safe. We'll share what we get with you. You'll have a good time. And people get enticed. Enticed into sin by the fact that everybody else seems to be doing something, whether it's evading tax or travel fares or getting drunk or sleeping around. But don't follow the crowd. This is the advice. Do not even set foot on their paths, says verse 15. Something doesn't become acceptable just because other people are doing it. Even though it's so easy to say that. Everyone else is at it. Why shouldn't I? But I cannot justify my actions on the basis that that is the way the world works. As Christians, we have to be better than the world. And in the end, if your feet do rush into sin, if you go after your ill-gotten gain, it's going to take away your life. The message says this for verse 19. When you grab all you can get, that's what happens. The more you get, the less you are. And that reminds me of something that Jesus said. He said, what does it profit someone if they gain the whole world but lose their soul? Don't be afraid of someone who can hurt your body. Be afraid, rather, of someone who can put your body and soul into hell. Now, these days we often prefer to offer the positive before the negative. Which I have to say is not the style of this father speaking to his son, is it? He takes the opposite approach. He wants his son to avoid the dangers before he starts building a positive life. He wants his son to see the dangers of living a life that looks good, that looks like it brings rewards, but in fact stores up trouble and destruction for the future. If you start off on the wrong path, it doesn't matter how hard you try. It's never going to work. The foundations have got to be right, or the house will never stand. Can you hear little bells going off? Things that Jesus said might just be ringing in your head. Well, this is a very common theme in the Bible. Don't take the easy way. Enter through the narrow gate. I think someone said that once, didn't they? And we saw it last year when we began looking at the Psalms. Psalm 1 begins by saying, blessed is the man who doesn't walk with the wicked, or stand with the sinners, or sit with the mockers. And only then does it go on to say, blessed rather is he who meditates on God's word day and night. The trouble is, we look at evil and think, that's good. We can't tell the difference. We can't tell the difference between good and evil. We get them muddled up. We don't look closely or deeply enough. Jesus talked about wolves in sheep's clothing, about whitewashed tombs, which are two vivid pictures of judging a book by its cover. And we mustn't do that. We mustn't be tempted. It's the oldest mistake that humanity made. Let's go, as we so often do, right back to the Garden of Eden, and there was the snake telling Eve that if only she ate the fruit of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll be like God. You'll be able to know the difference between good and evil. What a lie that was. You'll be anything like God, anything but being like God. Instead, Satan will just be able to trick you over and over again into thinking that something looks good, but actually it's the opposite. First thing Proverbs tells us is don't do that. And that's good advice for any age. Amen.